This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Bravo.
And so here is the title of our series, Jesus, the Source of the Believer's Identity. Your identity as a believer should come from nowhere else but Jesus. Amen. And so that's what we are emphasizing in this series. We're looking at different aspects, and we are solidifying that wonderful gospel truth. And this is part three. And part three, I have subtitled, New Nature and Identity in Jesus. And so I want to show you today, or I want to begin to show you today, how God has provided for us not just a new identity in Jesus, but also a new nature in Jesus. You remember in part one, I mentioned the fact that so many believers in the world today and in times past, and I'm sure in time to come, they will misunderstand the same point. But there are too many believers who think that they have a dual nature, that they have an Adamic nature, which is fallen, and they have a saved nature in Jesus, and they have a way of kind of making sense of that. And so they walk around, you know, you get these little movie scenes and cartoons and drawings and whatever else, memes, whatever else you get, you know, where on one shoulder you have the little saint and the other shoulder you have the little devil, and they're speaking to you. It's kind of portrays how people understand themselves and their nature, because they think they have a fallen, sinful nature, and they think that they also have a righteous, redeemed nature. And that's not the case. That's not what Scripture teaches. And so we want to solidify that truth today. I want to show it to you, but also we're going to look at just a number of aspects about that. Okay? So let's begin by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read verse 22 from the King James translation. It says, "For in Adam," notice I've emboldened that, so I want to make sure that you pay close attention to that. "For as in Adam, all," that's talking about all of humanity, "all die. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive." So I want to point out a few things over here as we have that on the screen. Notice that it says, as descendants of fallen Adam, everyone is destined to die. And yes, that is talking about physical death. But more than that, it's also talking about spiritual death. Now you may say, well, what is spiritual death? Spiritual death is basically separation from God. We don't cease to exist when we die. We continue and we will exist forever. But we can exist separated from God, as many who are in hell are right now, in damnation. And so that's what this is talking about. So in fallen Adam, because of his fall and because of his sinful nature, as a result of the fall, everyone is destined to die physically, but also to be separated from God. And then it says, but those who are in Jesus, or those who receive salvation in Jesus, they shall be made alive. In other words, they will live with God in heaven, and they will not be separated from God. That's another way you can understand that. And so that portion right there shows us two different states, two different conditions. There is the in Adam condition, and there is the in Jesus condition. The in Adam condition is unsaved. It's unrighteous. It's lost. It is separated from God. The in Jesus condition is restored to God. It is united with God and alive with God and unto God. Okay? So that's what I want to make sure that we capture that, because in essence, that's where some people think that the two natures come from. Because right there in that verse 2, two natures are revealed. In Adam nature and in Christ, in Jesus nature. And so, do we have both? No. The answer is no. And I'm going to prove it and show it to you today. Let's read that same portion from the Amplified Classic Translation. Watch this. It says, for just as because of their union of nature, I love the way the Amplified brings across the meaning from the original Greek words that this was written in. And notice it says, for just as because of their union of nature, in Adam, all people die. In other words, because there is a Adamic fallen nature which causes them to die, then it says, so also by virtue of their union of nature shall all in Christ be made alive. And so what I want to show you in this translation is that how from the original Greek you can actually bring across the fuller meaning, and that's exactly what this is talking about. It's talking about the two natures. It's talking about the nature in fallen Adam and what it does to people, and it's talking about the nature in Jesus and the effect and what it does to people. Okay, so there we see two different natures. Now we have to then ask the question, what is the nature that this is talking about? You know, if I use the word nature, and if I just say nature as a word, most people think of creation. They think of, you know, plants and grass and fields and sky and water and so on. And that's partly true, but this is talking about something totally different. It's talking about the nature of a human being and one nature in Adam, which causes them to be separated from God and die physically. And it's talking about the nature in Jesus, which causes them to be restored to God and be alive in God, right? So what is nature? What is that specific nature that this is talking about? So listen carefully, and I'm going to define it for you. Nature is the way someone or something is from birth or by birth. Are you with me? It's the way that they are born, okay? Now, whether it's a person or a thing, its actions and behavior flow from what it is. So the way that it is born is the way that it will be, right? When I say it, I'm talking about either a person or a thing or an animal, whatever the entity is, okay? But that's what nature is. It's just what comes naturally to them because of the type of species that they are, the type or the kind of species they are. And we can see that by the way they behave, by the way they act, okay? So let me give you some examples, and I'm going to show you some slides in a moment, but let me give you some examples first. For example, how do we know that a dog is a dog? It barks, right? So when you see an animal barking, you know that it's a dog. So it's born as a dog, and it behaves like a dog by barking. And so that's how you know that it's a dog. And therefore, we know that that's the nature of a dog. The nature of dogs is to bark, right? Same thing goes for cats. What do cats do? They meow. So the nature of a cat is to meow. Are you with me? Remember, I'm explaining what nature is here, okay? In that context, in that verse, and what the Bible tells us nature is, as far as we go. Okay, so neither the dog nor the cat need to be trained to be what they already are. Isn't that so? I mean, when the mother dog gives birth to puppies, she doesn't stop and somehow telepathically or brain waves or however, she doesn't teach them to bark. They just begin to bark as soon as they can because that's their nature, right? It's the same thing with cats. They don't need to be trained or taught to be what they are because that's their nature. Remember, I'm explaining what nature is, okay? Then, let's talk about other things in nature. For example, a lemon tree. What does a lemon tree do? It produces lemons, correct? Because that's its nature. What about an apple tree? An apple tree produces apples. Why is that? Because that's its nature. It's not going to produce carrots. It's not going to produce anything else because that's not its nature. And so They do that because of what they are by nature. So this is what nature is. And you can tell what something or someone's nature is by the way they act, by the way they behave, by the way or what they produce. Amen. Then let's talk about water. Water, as a matter of fact, we know that always flows to the lowest point. If you leave water alone, it's always going to find its way to the lowest point in that area, in that room, in that facility, wherever the water is. If you spill water, it's always going to run and flow to the lowest point. I'm sure you've noticed that, correct? And so that's what water does, because that's what the nature of water is. Are you with me? And so you can temporarily scoop up water and put it in a glass. You can freeze it. You can contain it in a large container, in a bottle, in a dam. You can contain it. But if you leave water to itself, it will always flow to the lowest point. Why is that? Because that's the nature of water. Okay? And when we look at that portion that we've just read, where it says, in Adam there is a nature, and in Jesus there is another nature, that shows us that those natures have a natural way of behaving, a natural way of being. Okay? But it's two different natures. And so ultimately, something's nature, please listen to this carefully, ultimately, something's nature then is also its identity. Would you agree with me? Sure it is. Let's put that to practice, okay? Remember what I said. Something's nature is also its identity. So we look at something's nature, we look at someone's nature, and we're able to identify who they are or what they are or what it is. Correct? Let's put it to the test. I'm going to show you some slides here, and I want you to identify what you see. Okay? Here comes the first one. What is that? It's a dog. Come on, don't be shy to participate. Answer with your mouth, not just in your mind, okay? It's a dog, okay? And the dog is barking. But there you see it. So how do we identify what we see with our eyes? By its nature. It's barking. It looks like a dog. So we know that it's a dog, right? Okay, here's the next one. Let's see if we can identify this one. What do you see right there? A cat. What is the cat doing? It's meowing. Okay, so we know that that is a cat. So its identity is cat. We're identifying it as a cat because that's what it is, correct? Okay, how about the next one? What do you see there? You see lemons hanging on a tree. So therefore we can conclude that this is a lemon tree, correct? So that's how we identify it, by the fruit that it produces. Okay, so here's the next one. Let's identify this one. Tell me what you think it is. Those are apples that are hanging on the tree. Therefore, this is an apple tree. See how we are identifying these different things by what they produce and how they behave and what they do, right? Here's the next one. This is water. Why? How do we know that? Well, because it looks like water, but also it's flowing to the lowest point, which is the nature of water, okay? So remember, I say that something's nature then is also its identity. So when you see what something does, or naturally, we know that that is its identity. And that's what that portion is conveying in that portion of scripture. In Adam, there is an identity and there is a nature. And we can tell its identity by its nature in Adam. The same goes for those who are in Jesus. Okay, I'm going somewhere with all of this. So there are also things then in creation. Now, this is where we're going to change gears a little bit, and I need you to stay with me, because in all of this, what I'm doing is I am explaining to you how to understand that word nature and identity, scripturally speaking. Okay? So, there are also things in creation that start with one identity, with one nature, and end up with another. Did you get what I said? There are some things in creation that start with one nature, one identity, and then they end up with another nature and another identity. True or not? Absolutely true. Let me show you some examples. Here come some slides of that. Okay. For example, on the left, you see a tadpole. This is how it starts. But then on the right side, you see it when it's fully grown and it's become a frog. So it started with one nature, with one identity, and it becomes another nature and another, it has another nature and it becomes, and it's identified differently, right? You wouldn't call the frog a tadpole when it's fully grown. Here's another example. There on the left side, you see a seed, an apple seed to be exact. And on the right side, you see an apple tree, which is what the seed became. So on the one hand, it had a certain nature and a certain identity, but then over time, it changed its nature and it changed its identity. It became another. Are you with me? All right, so here's another example, one that we are probably very familiar with. On the left side, you see a caterpillar, which is a little worm, basically. But that worm eventually wraps itself up into a pupa, and once it's ready, it comes out of it, breaks through, and it becomes a butterfly. It's the same little bean, but on the one hand, it has one nature, one identity, and it ends up with another nature and another identity. Okay, so here is one more example. We're talking about adoption. There is a child on the left, and on the right, the child has been adopted, not by its biological, by her biological parents, but once she is adopted or has been adopted, she now changes identity and will change nature because she will be raised by these parents, right? So it may be from one culture and now it's going to go into a different culture. That is another example of having one nature, one identity at first, and then changing that nature and changing that identity. Are you with me? So when we read that word where it talks about having one nature in Adam and another nature in Jesus, or one identity in Adam and another identity in Jesus, this is what that word is talking about. It's talking about the fact that, yes, we are born with an inherent, fallen, sinful nature, or you could say identity in Adam. But then when we receive salvation in Jesus, we become of a different nature and we receive a new identity. You don't get to hang on to both. You don't keep both and just get another one. This one basically goes away and you become one with a new identity and a new nature. And I'm going to prove that to you in scripture now. But that's exactly what happens to us in Jesus. When you receive salvation in Jesus, that's exactly what happens to you. What happened to me. Amen. When we receive salvation in Jesus. You see, that what I'm trying to also bring across to us today is that once you receive salvation in Jesus, God sees you different. Remember, in the Adamic nature, in the Adamic identity, you were separated from God. God identified you as sinful, as unjust, as unrighteous, and he couldn't relate to you because he is not like that. He needed you to have his nature and his identity in order to relate to you and have a relationship and be with you and make you a part of his family and his kingdom. And that's exactly what he did. And I know that there's a million and one questions running through your mind, and I will try and answer all of them today and next time, but just stay with me, okay? But let's have a look at this. Let's see if that's the case, what I've just said, that you receive a new nature and a new identity, and the old one goes away. So you don't have dual nature. I mean, that just isn't going to work. Think about the frog and the tadpole. The frog isn't a tadpole and the tadpole isn't a frog. It's not, it just cannot be. It's one or the other, right? The seed and the tree, it's the same thing. The seed cannot remain a seed and produce apples. It has to become a tree. Well, that's exactly how it is. That's why I showed you those visuals and explained all that to you. Let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, the second part of that verse. Watch us now with having explained all of that. And please pay attention to the words that I've emboldened, okay? It's talking about us, the believer. And watch what Paul says here, of course, written, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He says, and were. What tense is that? Is that past tense, present tense, or future tense? It's past tense. So this is a thing that has been done already. And were by nature, there it is, the children of wrath, meaning deserving God's anger and judgment, even as others, talking about those who have not received salvation in Jesus. In other words, who are unsaved, who are lost, who are still in Adam. And so what he does there is he explains to us that we had a fallen nature which was destined to be judged and face the anger of God. He says, and other people were like that. So he's talking to believers here, and he says, that's how you were, past tense, meaning that you no longer are like that, right? So you was. Let me use bad English to explain that. You was, but you no longer is. Are you with me? That's what that said right there. Powerful stuff. Here's another one. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 from the New Living Translation. It says, we know, talking about believers, that our old sinful selves, notice, old, in other words, it's not who we are anymore, were, past tense, crucified with Christ so that sin, that's the state of sin, the condition of sin in fallen Adam, might lose its power in our lives. So right there in that first portion, Paul makes it clear, you no longer have that sinful nature. You no longer have that sinful identity. Why is that? Because it was crucified with Jesus. So when Jesus hung on that cross and he was crucified, he was crucified with your sinful in Adam nature. And that's why it's no longer how you are identified, how God identifies you, and therefore it is no longer your nature. I trust that you're with me here. Let's carry on reading. Watch us now. We are no longer slaves to sin. In other words, to that Adamic nature, to that fallen nature, to that fallen identity. Watch what he says in verse 7. For when we died with Christ, so who died with Jesus on the cross? You did, right? For when we died with Christ, watch us, we were set free from the power of sin. In other words, the condition or the state of sin. Isn't that just powerful stuff right there? Doesn't that show you and prove to you that your identity in fallen Adam and your nature in fallen Adam was crucified with Jesus? It was put to death in Jesus, and it died with Jesus. Because that's the only way you can get rid of it. Are you with me? It's absolutely true, because that's what Scripture says. So if you want to still identify yourself to Adam, you are scripturally incorrect. If you want to somehow adopt and excuse the fallen nature to Adam, you're wrong, because that's not what it is. So when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die for you. He also died as you. Isn't that what that portion tells you? He says, we died with him. My sinful nature was crucified with him. So he didn't just die for you, he also died as you, as fallen Adam. In other words, with that nature and that identity. Powerful stuff, isn't it? I am so glad that he did that. Praise God. So, when we receive salvation in Jesus, our identity changes. Because that's what that portion just proved to us, right? And if our identity changes, therefore, listen to this carefully, we should no longer live with an identity crisis. No believer, no person who receives salvation in Jesus should have an identity crisis. What does it mean to have an identity crisis? Well, it means to be in a state of confusion, to be confused about who you are, to be uncertain who you are, to have conflict within yourself about who you truly are, to your value, your purpose, your role, your self-worth. You question all of that. That's what it means to have an identity crisis. And I trust that after today, for any reason that has been the case for you, that you will no longer have it anymore. Because you have a new nature and you have a new identity in Jesus. And it's nothing like the identity and nature you had in fallen Adam. Amen. And I know there's some questions running through your mind. Stay with me, okay? I will do my best to answer all of them, if not today, next time, okay? So your identity should be a settled matter. Because who you were in fallen Adam died with Jesus. The nature that you had in fallen Adam died with Jesus. You're no longer the tadpole. Not the tadpoles are evil, but I'm using it as the illustration that I showed you. You are the little frog, right? You are the apple tree. Amen. You are the full, developed, grown thing in Jesus' name. Praise God. So your identity is settled. You are not a person with two natures. You don't have an Adamic nature and an Adamic identity. You have a new nature in Jesus and you have a new identity in Jesus. And that's how God sees you. And that's how you need to see yourself so that you can live out the fullness of what God has provided for you and me in Jesus. Amen. Praise God. So you are dead to your sinful nature and you are alive to your righteous nature in Jesus. Amen. Let's have a look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is the verse where the name of our church comes from. And let's read it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 from the King James translation. It says, therefore, if any man, that's talking about any human, any person, be in Christ. In other words, if they have received salvation in Jesus, he is a new creature. You can also translate that as a new creation. He is a new creation. Watch this. All things are passed away. Talking about the old identity and nature. Behold, all things are become new. Talking about the identity and nature. That portion right there makes it as clear as anything. That when you and I receive salvation in Jesus, we become a completely, totally different kind of being. With a new nature and a new identity. And the old one is put away. It is put to death. It is no longer who you are and how you ought to identify and see yourself. Amen. And God doesn't certainly see you that way. Let's have a look at that same verse from the New Living Translation. Watch how it puts it. Pretty awesome. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. This is talking about nature and identity. It says, you have become something brand new. You have a new nature. You have new identity. And the old one is gone. It's not still there. It doesn't still hang around. And I know some of you are asking questions, say, well, why do I still struggle with sin then? Why am I still tempted? Why do I still mess up sometimes? Don't worry. We'll answer that probably next time. And I assure you, I'll do the best I can to answer that. So you are a new creation. You're not a mixture of old and new. You don't have two natures, two identities. God doesn't see you that way. I've just proved it to you. He doesn't see you in Adam and in Jesus. Once you receive salvation in Jesus, He sees you in Jesus. He sees you with a new nature, and He sees you with a new identity. And He sees you as righteous, no longer as unrighteous. Can I have a good amen from somebody? Amen. Now, so if the old nature has passed away, then it is inconsistent to claim that we still possess it. Isn't that true? You wouldn't want that. Why would you want to associate to a nature and an identity that you no longer have, that's no longer part of your life, part of your existence? It would be silly, right? And so, you know, you may say, well, how do people do that? How do believers do that? And I'm about to give you an example and tread on some very religious, well-established, erroneous doctrine here. But it's true. You see, sometimes people try to be humble and they say, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Have you heard that? Maybe you've even said that. Oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Do you realize with that statement what you're actually saying? You just said you still have the Adamic nature, you still have the Adamic identity, and you're still relating to it, but you are doing the best you can to relate to your in Jesus nature and identity. In other words, you are saying you still possess both. And I've just shown you that that's not how God sees you or how it is. And you know, sadly, much of religious teaching today, much of teaching that mixes law and grace, old covenant law with new covenant grace, and they come up with a new way of what they call Christianity and Christian teaching and doctrine, they do that. And that's why believers walk around, you know, like confused, because on the one hand, they relate to this identity and nature. On the other hand, they go to this one, and they're trying to figure out which is the dominant. And they think, well, the two natures are fighting against each other. And they use the portion in Galatians 5, you know, where the one nature is fighting the other. And we're going to clarify all of that, okay? But we need to establish this first and understand this. And that's not how it should be. If the old nature has passed away, then it is inconsistent to claim that we still possess it. Let me show you this in Colossians chapter 2. Verse 11 from the New Living Translation here. It says, when you came to Christ, in other words, when you received salvation in Jesus, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Now, circumcision is when you cut away flesh, when you take away something that shouldn't be there, right? So it says, when you received salvation in Jesus, something was cut away from you. And it wasn't something physical or natural. Then it says, Christ performed a spiritual circumcision. The cutting away of, read the next part with me, your sinful nature. In other words, your sinful identity. So in other words, when you receive salvation in Jesus, who you were in fallen Adam, your nature, your identity, was cut away. Spiritually speaking, in the spiritual realm, God does it. That's why when you receive salvation in Jesus, you sense something happening on the inside of you. That's exactly what's happening. The old identity and nature is cut away and removed, and a new nature is given to you in Jesus. So it is inconsistent to say or relate to both. Are you with me? I mean, this is powerful truth, praise God. And so this speaks of a complete removal of the sinful nature, because it says it was cut away. So Jesus, through the finished work of the cross, removed our old sinful nature and identity completely. Amen. Look at this in Galatians 2 verse 20. Backs this up. Watch what it says. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body. So yes, I am still in this earthly body, but not with the nature and identity of Adam, but trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we still live in this earthly body, this earthly vessel. But this earthly body and vessel may look the same, but it has a different nature and a different identity. And what made the difference is the fact that we received salvation in Jesus. Praise God. And so the believer is no longer sinful at the core. We were in Adam, but we're not in Jesus. You see, it's talking about nature and identity. Praise God. I trust that this has been solidified in your heart. You've got to understand this to understand what I'm going to share with you next time. Let's have a look at Romans 5 verse 19 as we come in for a landing. New Living Translation. It says, because one person disobeyed God, that's talking about Adam, watch this, many became sinners. So by default, we were all descendants of a fallen being, so we had no choice. That's what we became. But then watch this. But because one other person obeyed God, that's talking about Jesus, many will be made righteous. So on the one case, you become. On the other case, you are made. So it's not about your merit, your performance, your religiosity, or the lack thereof. It's none of that. It's purely by grace and grace alone. In the one case, you didn't have a choice. You inherited that nature and identity. But then Jesus came, and when you put your faith and trust in him and receive salvation in him, him, God, makes you righteous. He gives you a new identity, a new nature. Not based on what you do or what you don't do, but based on his goodness, his grace and mercy. Amen. So it's not something you earn or deserve. It's something you get as a gift. It's the gift of righteousness. It's the gift of salvation. Amen. Praise God. Pretty awesome stuff. So Adam's disobedience made us sinners by nature. Jesus' obedience makes us righteous by nature. That's what that verse also tells us. Adam's disobedience caused us to have an unrighteous identity, whereas Jesus' obedience causes us to have a righteous identity. Amen. That's all that verse shows us. Praise God. This is why in 1 John 4:17 it says the following. Watch this. Herein is our love made perfect. Talking about the love God has for us. This is how it can be perfected in our hearts and in our minds that God loves us. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because all of our sin has already been judged. Our nature in Adam, our identity in Adam has already been judged at the cross in Jesus. Remember, he died for you and as you. So this is why we'll have boldness in the day of judgment. Watch us now. Because as he is, talking about Jesus, so are we in this world. In other words, God identifies you the way he identifies his son Jesus. And how does he identify Jesus? As righteous, as holy, as loved, as accepted, as pure, and as his child. Amen. Why? Because that's the identity and the nature he has in Jesus. So in Jesus, we have a new nature and a new identity, praise God. We do not have a dual nature or identity. I trust that you are convinced about that today, because that is gospel truth. And so this is how in Jesus we have been cleared of guilt by association to fallen Adam. You are no longer related to fallen Adam. You no longer have his nature or his identity. Therefore, you have been cleared of all the guilt that he had. Amen. This is why you are forgiven in Jesus. So then, of course, I'm sure one of the questions that you've asked yourself at one point throughout this session today, this message here, or you may be asking yourself even right now. So then, Why does a believer then still face temptation and struggle with sin? If they have a new identity, a new nature, why do they still mess up sometimes? Why do they still struggle sometimes? And that is a very good question, which I will begin answering next time.
We trust that you are blessed by this message. For more information about our ministry, or to make a donation to help us continue spreading the gospel, please visit our website at redemptioninjesus.com.